Count it a privilege to be able to greet you again tonight in the name of Jesus. It would be interesting to hear some of your stories tonight. I was blessed this past week in hearing some of those stories. I enjoyed my time here, my wife and I. You know, at this place in the week, looking back, it seems like, where did the week go? Monday night, looking forward, it didn't feel quite that way. But you have made us feel very much at home, and we just appreciate your hospitality. It's been a real blessing being here. Just one suggestion for future evangelists. It might be well if you would require the people to wear name tags. It might make it just a little bit easier. I do struggle with remembering names. I can recognize faces. And so I just apologize for if I have to ask your name several times this past week and I still don't know it. Apologize for that. But we did enjoy your hospitality, and we'd like the privilege and the opportunity to return that hospitality sometime. If you're traveling out west in Interstate 90, and where 94 goes north and 90 goes west, we're only 7 miles from there. So if you're heading out west sometime, just feel free to give us a call. We'd just be glad to have you for a night or however long you would choose to stay. But it is good. It was good to be here with you. It's also good to see someone from Wisconsin here tonight. Brendan Kilmer is here, and it's good to see him here as well. Each evening we were singing a theme song, and I'd just like to sing that song together again tonight. If you have a paper in front of you, it's "I Love You, Lord Jesus." And I trust as we sing this song that it's because we truly have and do love the Lord Jesus and for what he has done for us. We experience the fire of his love in our lives. And in turn, we give our lives for him, service for him. Ask the chorister to lead us.
Fires of your love in my soul, open with their spreadings divine, and let your spirit go freely within to witness that Jesus is mine. I love you, Lord Jesus, I love you today. I love you in spirit and mind. My body is yours, your everything, Lord. I'm satisfied now in your love. I'm satisfied now. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus, my Lord, oh wonderful Savior divine, oh wonderful, wonderful Jesus, my friend, the dearest that I may call mine. I love you, Lord Jesus. I love you today. I love you in spirit and is our glory dear above. I love you, Lord Jesus, I love you today. I love you in spirit and mind. My body is yours, or anything more. I'll satisfy now in your love. I'm satisfied now.
So come to the closing night of a week of revivals. I have to ponder as to what do I share tonight. As I just thought over some of the things that we looked at, there's so much that I could have said and maybe should have said. My wife reminded me that I didn't share any message on the home. And the home is a very vital part in the life of a congregation. And there's just going to have to be some things that I'll just let up to the local ministry to share with you. What do we share on a concluding night of revivals? I appreciated being with you as a congregation here. One of the things that stood out to me is the zeal that I see here and sense here. I wasn't sure how I would feel when I found out that I'm going to be one of the older ones here, and most of them are younger than I am, but that was one of the things with me. I never quite felt like I was as old as some people looked at me. I always kind of felt that I always considered myself a young person. I was ordained young in the ministry, and I enjoyed preaching from the book of Timothy because I always considered Timothy a young minister. But I'm beginning to sense how some others might view me, and I don't feel quite like they put me quite in that bracket anymore. Well, time does move on, and unfortunately, there's signs of it as you look at the silver hair and whatever. And so I do feel like I'm a little older than what I used to view myself as. But I do appreciate the church with young families and children. I know it wasn't the quietest this week after services and the children were running around, and I didn't mind that a bit. I enjoyed the children. I enjoy seeing a church full of children. What would it have been like if it just would have been old folks here like me? What would have it been like? It's just a blessing to see children here and youth. It's good to see youth here tonight. It's just a blessing to see that. And I just want to encourage you here at Fourth Avenue to continue that zeal. Just sharing, I think it was Brother Steve was sharing with me a little bit the history of the church here and how, was it in the 29 or 20s sometime? Okay. And this was a Mennonite church here. And we know the course that the General Conference has taken. And it's sad as you see the apostasy there. And you know, I had to wonder, what would another 20 years be like here for Fourth Avenue? God says when he comes back to the earth, will he find faith? Will there be faith there? Will there be a church here that is still vibrant and on fire for the Lord? And I trust there will be if the Lord sees fit to continue to have a church here. And we know that the Lord works in many mysterious ways, and maybe he'll have a other work here. I don't know. I mean, other work for you all. But will we still be faithful? And that's a challenge. It's a challenge for parents here. You know, some of the decisions that lie before you will have a tremendous impact for your children. And they might not seem like some very big decisions. And I'm not that old, and I still had, but I can still observe. And that's, I've witnessed and noticed the course that different families have taken. And we don't know what all is, plays a part in that. But I believe some of the decisions of the parents played a tremendous impact on the choices and the direction of the children. And so you as parents, there's a tremendous responsibility. It's not something we have to be afraid of. God's grace is sufficient. But we need to be sensitive to the fact that the choices that we make do impact the church. Let's keep in mind, too, that people are observing our lives. They're following us. They're viewing us. They're being influenced by us. And you might feel like your life doesn't influence people, but it does. And young people, I don't know whether you come from families with younger siblings or not, but there's others that are looking up to you. Don't let them down. Help them to make their journey easier for them as well. Just words of encouragement. Let's continue to be faithful. And so as I come to the close of this week of meetings, it was like, what do I share? And so I just decided to preach a message that I preached to my home congregation probably a month ago, taken from the book of Philippians. We looked at Philippians this morning some. I'd like you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Apostle Paul was coming to the close of his life. His ministry was just about over. He realized that he stared death in the face. And he was concerned. He was concerned for the ongoing work of the church. And I believe he was there preparing the people for that. And verse 14 is what I'd like to use for the title of my message. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Lord Jesus Christ. I press toward the mark. I press toward the mark. There was a number of years ago that we had some family in Alberta, and we decided to go up and to visit them, and we flew into Great Falls, Montana. I was always intrigued by the West. I was always intrigued, especially in going through the Rockies, and we have a daughter in the western slopes of Colorado, and I don't get tired of going through the Rockies. If you ever have the chance to go Interstate 70 through the Rockies, it's just beautiful. And, I had to wonder, how did those explorers get across the Rockies when there was no roads paved? That is a rugged territory. And we flew into Great Falls, Montana, and there was a museum there, and I don't remember what it was called, but it seems to me it was something about the Lewis and Clark Museum. And we had our two girls with us, and we stopped there and took in the museum, and they showed a video of the explorers going west and what they needed to go through and crossing those Rockies. And it's just amazing what they put themselves through. And I'm not exactly sure of the ones that went on that expedition, but I think it was on May 14th, 1804, that they left St. Louis, Missouri. They had a goal in mind. They didn't know exactly what they're going to encounter, but they had a goal in mind. They wanted to find a waterway that wasn't non-existent. But they had went out through there, and they faced many obstacles. It took them a lot longer than they ever expected. Was it in Montana where they faced the rapids and they had to go out of the way like 18 miles to get around those rapids and continued on their journey? They didn't calculate in the Rockies, and they had to cross the Rockies, and then winter set in. It was brutal, and they almost did not survive the winter. They faced wildlife. They faced Indians. These are all the obstacles that they had to deal with. But they had a goal in mind. They didn't know whether they were going to come back alive or not, but there was a goal. And that is what kept them pressing forward. the Apostle Paul is saying here, there is something that is keeping me on this journey of life. There is a goal that I have, and I'm keeping my eyes focused on it. He shared his testimony at a devotional this evening with King Agrippa. And we can see there a glimpse of what that goal was. There was no question that his life was dedicated to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And his goal was to follow the Lord's will until the very end. The Apostle Paul faced a lot of obstacles as well. But it was for a cause that was far greater than the Lewis and Clark expedition. And he was willing to risk his life as well. And he was willing to give his life for a better country. I press toward the mark. Let's begin reading at verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of concisions. For we are of the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I would count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung that I might win Christ. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteous which is of God by faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering be made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I have already obtained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I might apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same things. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they were enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. I press toward the mark. And I believe the mark that the Apostle Paul was pressing toward was that of pleasing the Heavenly Father. The mark that the Apostle Paul was pressing toward was to please the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And I believe his ultimate goal in pressing for that mark was to see Jesus face to face. The one that he loved, he was looking forward to seeing him face to face and be with him in eternity. There might be many different views as to just what that mark consists of that he's talking about here. But I believe it revolves around obedience and service to God. And that was the Apostle Paul's heart desire, to do the will of God. And he was willing to do it at all cost. As I look at my life, I see myself failing many times in this area, in being what God would have for me to be. But you know, the Christian life is a life of growth. And growth is a lifelong process. It challenges me here as I look at the Apostle Paul. I look at his spirituality. I look at his relationship with God. I look at his writings. I look at his involvement in reaching out in mission efforts and touching the lives of others. The Apostle Paul was a Christian for 25 years, approximately, when he wrote the book of Philippians. There's no question in my mind that he was an outstanding Christian. Yet over and over again, he reveals his mindset. And that is, he's still a work in progress. The Apostle Paul, which has done so much for the church and for us today, was still a work in progress. And he was recognizing that there was still room for him to grow closer to the Lord. In verse 12, it says, "Not as though I have already attained or were already perfect, but I follow after." The Apostle Paul still realized there needed to be growth in his life. We go back to verse 9. Apostle Paul had a desire to be found in him, not having his own righteousness. Do you think the Apostle Paul struggled with that? His own righteousness, his own abilities? He tells us here there's things that he just simply lays down. There were things that people would hold dear. There were some of his fellow school students, possibly, that he grew up with, who were schooled in the doctrines of the law. And they held that very dear. They held it up above doing what was right. And the Apostle Paul was willing to lay those things down, even though they would have been gained to him. He was willing to lay them down for the sake of the gospel, that he would be found in him, not having his own righteousness, which was after the law, but that he would have, how does it word it there? But that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. He was concerned that he would be accepted before Jesus Christ. He says that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Paul wanted to know Jesus. He wanted to know him in a very real way, an intimate way, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. He even takes it further than that. In his identity with Christ, he was willing to suffer with him. Why do you think he was willing to face scourgings? Why do you think he was willing to face the threat of prison and death? He wanted to identify with Christ and be made conformable unto his death. How many of us, we want to enjoy experiencing the power of his resurrection, but suffering, something that doesn't come as easy. The Apostle Paul was willing to face that as well. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Apostle Paul had a desire to continue to grow. The Christian life isn't a 100-yard dash. The Christian life is a lifelong marathon. And we don't reach the finish line until Christ calls us home. We need to continue to press on. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look looking at verses 1 to 3. It says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisy and envyings and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye might grow thereby, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Growing as newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the word. And then we go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Looking at verse 17. It says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." I press toward the mark. The Apostle Paul had a desire to learn to know Christ intimately. He wanted to identify with Christ. He wanted to live in obedience and service for God. And I believe that was his goal. And Paul says in verse 13, it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." He's saying, I'm forgetting those things in the past that are going to hinder my relationship with Jesus Christ. And he goes on as far as to say, if there is anything that is going to stand in the way. A few nights ago, we looked at that of the importance of eradicating anything in our lives that is going to hinder our relationship with Jesus Christ. If there was any sin in our life, we looked at the importance of dealing with that. If it is going to hinder us, Jesus says at all costs, heaven is worth it all. And you need to be willing to deal with anything that is going to come in the way between us and Jesus, that would keep us out of heaven. Apostle Paul is saying here, I'm forgetting those things that are going to hinder me. If there is family that is going to hinder me in my walk, in my journey with the Lord, I'm willing to renounce that. If there is my religious background that is going to stand in the way of my relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm willing to renounce that. Those things I forget. Forgetting those things which are behind. In Harold and Howard Bean's, one of his, the books that he wrote, he had an article in there in relation to things that we do well to forget and things that we do well to remember. And I just had jotted them down in my notes here, and I just go over them briefly. Four reasons for looking back. Number one is to appreciate. Psalms 111:4 says, "He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered." Looking back is a time for us to reflect on God's goodness and how he has worked in the past. We can see that as we look into the Bible, and we can see how he has worked with his people. It's an encouragement to us. As we look back on our lives, we can appreciate how God has worked in our lives. It's a time to appreciate what God has done for us. What we have, what we receive, the blessings that we have, is it not from God? Another reason to look back is to see God's faithfulness. Psalms 37, verse 25 says, "I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." The psalmist was looking back, and he was reflecting back on how God has worked in the past. Another blessing in looking back is to see how God has worked in adversities in our lives, setbacks, when we face difficulties. They're never very pleasant as we're going through them. But it's a blessing to be able to look back and see how God was there for us at those times. It's good for us to look back, to learn from our experiences, learn from our failures. There's reasons why we should not look back. You know, Satan will try to throw our past in our face. He'll do that. Those are reasons not to look back. Don't focus on your failures. Providing that you have them under the blood of Jesus Christ. He'll try to throw it in your face and he'll try to say, Nelson, look what you've done. I know what you did back there. And we can say, Satan, get behind me. I have it under the blood. Don't focus on your failures. Don't live in the past. You ever have people that live in the past? They just continually reflect back into all the things that have happened back then. They refer back there, the good old days and how well they had it. Now, there might be a place to reflect on that, but don't live in the past. Let's be like the Apostle Paul. Keep our focus on the mark. If only I was young again. Do we reflect on all the hurts that they have experienced? Yes, you remember what that person did to me. I remember how he or she treated me. I remember that injustice that I experienced. Just reflecting back on the past. Apostle Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind, I point forward. Let's lay those things down. There are things in life which we in the past cannot change. We can't do anything about it. It's just the way it is. Let's let it lie and let's move forward. Apostle Paul says, if there's anything in my life that's going to hinder me, I'm willing to let it in the past. And please, don't look back with the thought of turning back. The children of Israel did that when God brought them out of the land of Egypt and things got a little tough. They began to think of all the leeks and the garlics they had back in Egypt, not thinking about how they were in bondage. And at the time and how they were wanting to be free. And that's exactly what Satan does. He tries to paint a beautiful picture. And even though you have experienced what the world has to offer, and you've also experienced the deliverance from God when things get tough, he tries to bring you back to those things that look so appealing. Why do you think the billboards show somebody smiling with a cigarette in their mouth? Or with a beer advertisement? Why do you think? They don't show the broken homes. They don't show the people laying in hospital beds because of lung cancer. It doesn't show that. They make it look so beautiful. Don't look back with the thought of turning back. The world has nothing to offer. Let's continue to go forward. And there may be times when we go through difficulties and adversities. But let's continue to keep our focus on the goal. When Lewis and Clark were making their expedition out through the West, do you think they ever contemplated the thought of turning back? Do you ever think they ever wondered why they ever began the journey? I would guess they did. But they continued to press on. The Apostle Paul faced a lot of hardships. Do you think he was discouraged? The Apostle Paul? He was. There was one time he said, there was no one that stood by me. I was alone. The Apostle Paul, a man of God, a man that had started churches, experienced loneliness. He did. But what kept him going forward was the fact that he had his focus on a goal. He loved the Lord Jesus. He knew what Jesus has done for him. He wanted to be obedient to him. He wanted to be in service for him. And ultimately, he wanted to be in Jesus' presence for eternity. He kept his focus on the goal. And that is what we're going to need to do, brothers and sisters, if we're going to finish the marathon race. We're going to have to keep our focus on the goal. I can't promise you an easy life. There are going to be times you're going to face discouragement. And yes, there might be times you're going to face loneliness. Keep your focus on the goal. Those things are only temporary. And I believe the Apostle Paul realized that these things are only for a time. And then there's eternity. Keep your focus as you're going through this Christian life. The church here at Fourth Avenue, keep your focus. Keep your mission focus. Why God has you here. Continue to keep your focus on the goal. Don't allow anything to hinder you. The Apostle Paul says, I forget those things which are behind me. Someone has made the allegory of a mirror in a car to what he is talking about here. And you have a rear view mirror, and you don't drive with that rear view mirror. You probably will, going forward, you probably would not get real far if you keep your focus on the rear view mirror. But one of the things that rear view mirror does, it's able for us to look behind us while we're still looking forward, and it gives us the opportunity to make some decisions by what we see coming behind us. And that is the same way in our Christian life. We can see danger behind us, or we can see a car beside us, and we know that how to respond. In the Christian life, we can, as we experience things, or as we have saw others experience things, it gives us a direction on how to relate as we're going forward. But our focus needs to be on the mark. We need to continually look forward. The Apostle Paul says, I reach forward to those things which are before. I reach forward to those things which are before. That reaching, there is a strong term, which describes, I would picture it as a runner that is simply given everything he got. He is there, he's just giving it all, leaning forward, putting his everything into it. He said, I'm reaching forward, I'm running, I'm in this race, and I'm just giving it everything I got. And that is what the Apostle Paul is saying here. I want to be a winner of this race. And I want to give everything I got. I'm putting myself into it. I'm reaching forward. Success is found, not behind, but forward. And Paul was reaching for that. He desired to have a deeper knowledge of Jesus Christ. He desired to know what it was like to experience that resurrecting power in his life. He desired to know what it's like to suffer with Christ. He wanted to have the mind of Christ. It's important. We live in this life, and it's easy for us to get distracted. We have so many responsibilities. Do you ever wonder why God gave children to young parents who are trying to get established in life? It just seems like there needs to be so much involved to get to have a home, to make payments, and you can become so occupied in just making a living. How do you meet the needs of your children? Wouldn't it be easier if he gave children to older ones who already had established their businesses in life? Well, we're taking care of a grandson, and I can understand in part why he gives children to young families. But one of the things I want to stress here is the fact that we need to be careful that we keep our priorities straight. It is more important to meet the spiritual needs of your children than it is to meet their financial needs, or to establish it financially well for them. it is more important to meet their spiritual needs. Keep your priorities straight. Yes, you have to provide a living for your family. I believe that is scriptural, but you need to meet the spiritual needs of their children. And there are times you're going to have to juggle things around to accomplish that. Keep your focus on the mark, on the goal. I never once heard a father say, "Oh, I just spent too much time with my children." I did hear fathers say, with regret, "I wish I would have spent more time." Someone has said with children, "You only have one shot. Give it your best." Keep your priorities right. And I believe that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to instill in us, in this teaching here. Keep your focus on the mark, on the goal. There are more important things than just making a living. Victory comes to those who press toward their goal. He goes on and says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." What is that prize that he's pressing forward towards? I believe that prize is the crown of glory. I believe he's pressing forward to that time when he can be at the very presence of Jesus. I believe he's pressing toward that goal of hearing those words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." That is the goal that he's pressing toward forward to, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 5. Looking at verse 4. It says here, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Apostle Paul desired that crown. I desire that crown. I don't know what that all entails, but I'm looking forward to the time when I can experience that crown of glory. James chapter 1, verse 12. Says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Apostle Paul desired that. I desire that. And that's only as we continue to keep our focus on the goal. We do not allow ourselves to become distracted. We had looked the first night, and we had asked the question, is why am I here? And we concluded with that it was to bring glory to God. We are here for his honor and for his glory. God has created us for the purpose that we might be glorified in the end. God desires to have a relationship with us. God has created us, I believe, to spend eternity with him. And let's continue to press toward that. Will heaven be worth it? Will heaven be worth it? All these struggles and trials and whatever we face, will heaven be worth it? I say tonight, heaven will be worth it all. And I don't know what struggles you're facing. I know the struggles that I face. Do you ever feel like giving up? I confess to you tonight, there was times in my life I felt like giving up. I struggled with discouragement. And is it really worth it? There will be not a question in any of our minds when we get over in glory as to whether it was worth it. It will be worth it all. Brothers and sisters, I just challenge you, keep your focus on the goal. Identify with the Apostle Paul where he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's continue to press on. Let's continue to be faithful. I want to be with you in glory. I want to see you there. What would it be like tonight if Jesus would come back tonight? What would it be like to see the rapture and this church building completely empty? It'd be wonderful. But would it be possible tonight that there's someone that is not having their focus on the mark? Would it be possible tonight if the Lord would come back for his church, there would be someone that is not ready? How tragic. But it doesn't need to be that way. Tonight I'd like to give an opportunity. If you sense the Lord speaking to you, if you know that you have allowed the things of this world to distract you from the mark, just invite you to come to Jesus. I know what it's like to have turmoil in my heart. I also know what it's like to have the peace of God in my heart. And that is possible. And I invite you to come if you sense turmoil in your heart tonight. What shall the number be? Just as you are. Sing another verse. I think we'll close the invitation at this time, but remember, the invitation is never closed. We can always come to him as long as he tarries. If you feel the Lord speaking to you, before you go to bed tonight, talk to someone who could help. I want to thank each one of you for your attendance tonight and this past week. It's been a blessing being here sharing with you. May the Lord bless you. Turn it over to the local ministry.